It's
not
there?
No. It wasn't around yesterday, actually.
Let me see if I can find it.
Why?
Well, obviously an anti-authoritarian cabal has stolen.
He wants to do away with government.
Yeah.
Who wants to do away with
government? Whoever stole the gavel.
Oh. was it Paul Finer? Did he come and take the gavel?
Paul Finer, yeah. It might be the first choice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
This is the regular superior chair.
Oh.
Would you like it?
No,
I'm
you're
happy with it?
Yeah.
Share my steel in London's.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We'll blame.
I can tell Paul.
We'll blame the advocates for having stolen the chair.
I heard that.
I've never seen it. I just felt
him. You're the only one who did, apparently.
The only thing there is the big old county post.
Well, rack or knuckles.
We can do, I mean, we can do without it. Yeah, we can do this.
Yeah, way to go.
You on?
Yeah.
I hereby call this meeting to order. We have in attendance Legislator Myers and Legislator Burton and myself, Frieda Williams, which makes a quorum. This afternoon, we have the pleasure of having the Child Care Council of Westchester here, and they're going to bring us up to date on all the child care scholarship programs. Has everybody gotten a copy of the overview that you provided, the narrative? Okay. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Thank you so much for having us. I'm Kathy Howes, Executive Director of the Child Care Council.
Susan Adelstein, Director of the Institute for School Age
Child Care.
Child Care. That's it.
And
Scholarship Manager. I do so many other things. I kind of forget what that is. Scholarship manager for today. And administer. You want to start with an overview? Or?
Sure. Well, we have, Susan's going to go over the information in detail, but we're going to give you a little overview about the program it's in entirety since its debut in the summer of 2006. To the current date, and more detail on what's happened in 2009 up to the present, which is particularly interesting. So.
Absolutely. as Kathy said, this program started in 2006, and since that time we've had over 1,600 families, duplicated families, who have applied for the scholarship program, and 49% of the applicants, about 790 families, actually were awarded scholarships, and that was on behalf of over 900 children in the county. In addition, what we've seen throughout the years is that the recipients are from mostly single-parent households. Most have family size of two or three. The majority of the recipients are from Down County, Yonkers, Mount Vernon, New Rochelle, a little bit Mid County, White Plains, and going a little bit further north up in Austin.
Sorry about that.
The majority, interestingly enough, of the scholarships have been awarded to school-age children, children from ages 5 to 12, who go to before and after school programs. Talking about the size of the award, the mean scholarship award over these years, annualized, has been just shy of $3,500, which is less than one-third of the average cost of having a preschooler in child care for the year. We've had a couple of rounds that were shorter than the original 12 months, so that does affect the mean award. But basically, regardless of that, this has shown the parents still really pay a very, very high percentage of child care costs. I'd like to talk a little bit about the programs that get the scholarships. They're represented for all different modalities, from registered school age programs that solely serve before and after school care for the children ages 5 to 12, child care centers, registered family providers, and group family providers. About 500, almost 500 programs have had the scholarship. As a matter of fact, just the beginning of this month, a new provider came in. She is brand new and not familiar with the scholarship program, and a current recipient changed her children to this particular woman's care, a licensed group family provider, so I was able to speak with her and tell her all about the scholarship program and really get her involved, and she was very pleased to have kids in there and become involved.
Through the chair. Where had her children been before that?
They had been in another licensed group family mm-hmm. home. This particular mom was very concerned about the cost of care
mm-hmm.
and quality of care as well,
mm-hmm.
but could not afford to put her two children, into a child care center. So I was looking at the group family homes, which typically charge mm-hmm. a little bit less mm-hmm. for good quality care. But this particular mom was on the phone with me several times saying, well, if I go into this program, how much would it be? In this program. She found one program, wasn't particularly happy with it because there were no children the age of her children in the program, mm. found another one, and went to this particular group family provider.
Okay.
So we continually add or reach out to new programs who haven't been involved with this, with having children on scholarship in their programs. Talking about 2009, we had $600,000 that was budgeted to continue the awards through December, which put the scholarship program on the same timetable as the county's fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
We had two rounds in 2009. Round one started in June 1st and was originally going to December 31st. Round two started September 1st and again was originally going through December 31st. Total number of awards that were awarded for both of the rounds was 237, 106 from round one, 131 from round two. Annualized, that's an average of just over $3,800 per household. Something that was new for 2009 was the continuity of care, mm-hmm. assistance care
mm-hmm.
program, which was put into place in response to the poor economy and growing unemployment. These funds that were set aside for that particular program were for parents who had lost their job, who were either receiving the scholarship and thus were no longer eligible, or had been receiving DSS subsidy and thus became no longer eligible because they lost their jobs. The program was designed to provide three full days of care per week for up to 4 weeks. Parents, if they were still unemployed and actively looking for a job, could then reapply for another 3 days a week for up to 4 weeks. We had 10 families take part in this particular program. Happy to say that two of the families did not need the second 4 weeks of care because they did find employment, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to interject one
sure.
thing. One of the other reasons, too, that we did the continuity of care was because we were afraid if we allocated all the money that was in the budget for 2009, we would have ended up with actually a pool of families that we could not continue at what we thought we might get in 2010, because it would have been at least, I think, $1.4 million going forward. So we were looking for a way to use it that was not going to get us to a place that we couldn't get the county to enable mm-hmm. the county to continue, but was also responding to an acute community need.
Mm-hmm. Because the awards in 2009 were for shorter terms, round two was originally scheduled just for 4 months. There was approximately $292,000 unspent funds left at the end of the year, which DSS indicated to us that they would put into a reserve for us that we would be able to use at a later date. In addition, we were originally awarded $500,000 for 2010, and we were going to combine that with the 292 to continue rounds one and two through the end of May, starting 2010 round one as of June 1st using the new funds. Mm-hmm. As always, and it still continued in 2009, the number of awards and amount of awards continually changes as parents leave the program due to moving out of the area, having children and taking their children out of care to stay home with them. This is just a very fluid, in-motion program. And as it's ending, we're finding, you know, parents are getting a little stressed out, as I'm sure everyone has heard what's going on. 2009 continued, keeping with the same statistics as in previous years of overwhelmingly single parents heading small households from southern cities down in the county, again including White Plains, Ossining. We found that for round one, we had 11 applicants that were denied immediately off the bat because one or more of the parents was unemployed. Unfortunately, not all of those applicants were eligible for the continuity of care because, as I previously mentioned, you have to either have been on DSS or receiving the scholarship. We originally awarded 102 households with scholarships, representing 136 children. That was for a total of just under $290,000, and that was from June 1st through December 31st. The range of scholarships was 794 per household for a family with one school-aged child to just over 4,500 for a family with three children in care. And I might add that three children is the maximum that any family can receive a scholarship for. That was for the 7 months. So because, again, the shorter round, the average award was just a little over $2,100. If you annualize that, that brings it up to just under $3,700, which is keeping with the average award from
that's pretty consistent.
Basically in 2006. Exactly. Income levels of the recipients, about 30.
Can you back up?
Sure,
on
Judy.
Step. Just that last sentence. Mm-hmm. When it was clarified that the 2010 payments were from reserved funds from 2009 and not the new $500,000, mm-hmm. How was that clarified to you?
Well, over a series of conversations and emails, because originally we were asked to prepare a budget that represented the reserve and the $500,000.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was the $792,000.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then we were asked to come back with a budget for just the $500,000. Mm-hmm. And I had several conversations with DSS around, well, is the $292,000 really going to be there? And they said, don't worry, you know, it will be. So I thought the $500,000 was fine and the $292,000 was iffy.
Right.
And as it was explained to me, we were told that when we sent in a claim for the scholarship program, it would be sent through fiscal, and they again, DSS expected that it would be passed, but if it weren't, then it would be paid out of the $500,000. So then I said, so that means we're using the reserve funds first, and I was eventually told yes. Again, there was some back and forth, at which point I said,
this was
well,
with John Beefus.
Yeah, and Paul Servich and mm-hmm. Catherine Walushka and Iris Jenkins, you know, okay. Different, mm-hmm. Different members of that group. And I want to say very clearly that they're always very cooperative mm-hmm. with us. And there was certainly an intention to be straightforward about this. I think it was just maybe a little confusion. So when it was made plain that we were actually using the reserve fund, I wrote back, I think, at that point to Paul to say, we're expending about $76,000 on the scholarship awards per month, and our administration costs is an additional $5,000. That's a monthly cost of about $80,000. We're not going to get all the way to May. So then we did the recalculation, and I got a message back saying, you're only to use the reserve funds, and when those are done, you know, the scholarship is done. So according to our calculation, we thought we could get as far as about the third week in April. So the April payments are at 75% of the usual award for the.
When were you told that, you know, can you give me an approximate date or something when you were told that last communication?
I think it was probably mid-March.
Most probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I received an email when I was out of town saying that the program was going to be discontinued at the end of May, and I was out of town the week of March 9th, so at a conference. So when I returned the following week, we began to have more serious conversations about what pot of money and how far could we go. Mm-hmm. So it was around that time.
Thank you.
Mr. Burke?
If we're taking the money from the reserve funds, does that, is it implied or has it been stated flatly that the $500,000 will not be expended?
I received an email saying that that the scholarship program was being discontinued.
That's what we were told by the commissioner when he came in here. He told us Title 20 is this, COPS is that, but mm-hmm. he also said, and he did not exactly have a smile on his face if he wasn't doing this because he liked it.
Right.
He told us that the scholarship funds were not going to be expended. So I just want to be sure that they had told you the same thing, because the ins and outs of the way you were explaining that, whether I'm sure they made perfectly good sense to you, were a little bit unclear to me. So that's fine. We at least have clarity on this. We also have the law. Mm-hmm. And the law says that which is appropriated by this board mm-hmm. shall be spent for the purposes stated in the appropriation by the administration.
Unless the purpose can be fulfilled
without the expenditure of that money.
Obviously, that's not happening.
Seems mm-hmm. not to be the case.
Mm-hmm. So you can't really give scholarship money without you can't achieve our original goal of the providing these kids with access to child care with a subsidy without this money.
That's correct.
Now, we want to make it perfectly clear that this budget 2010 is a balanced budget with all the expenditures and all the revenues in it, and we have no indication at this point in the, they're not here, that's why I'll say this one, whether they're here or not. You don't have to look around at who's here under the table or microphone. Susan Kirkpatrick is not taking notes in the administration.
Jerry McKinstry, are you here?
It is a balanced budget. We have no indication at this point that our revenues have fall off any more than they were projected to. We did not expect sales tax to come roaring back. We did not expect all sorts of things. So far, there is no reason for this, except that there is an inclination perhaps to create a crisis where none at this point exists, or an inclination to just start socking money away for a presumed problem. And I don't think any of us are naive enough to believe that it is a totally presumed problem, but at the same time, there's a tension here. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. meant for this to be done, and it's not. So I'm sure this was the unstated agenda by the chairwoman to bring this forward. And we have fought a couple of fights. We succeeded in one last night on the matter of the Muse at Baldwin Place, where we expended
going to be some affordable housing in Somers.
Somewhere in the range of $3 million.
Great. Congratulations.
You bet.
Senior housing.
This was not without...
We'll all be eligible. Yes. Maybe faster than we thought we might.
This was not without...
Bloodshed.
Yes, perhaps. But it can be done. We cannot by any means guarantee that the $3 million success will be followed by a $500,000 success. There are different programs, there are different what's, there's all of that. But Legislator Myers and I will be participants in the press conference on Friday, at which we're going to raise this and other matters to, we hope, public attention. And you can't screw around like this. You just can't. I mean, unless you present at least me, I'm speaking only for myself, you present me with an indication that things are really going badly and that we have to start putting money away. Like any normal person, when I see that if I'm working on an hourly basis, my hours are being cut or my pay rate's been cut or whatever, or the price of gas has gone up and I need, whatever it is. Show me that I've got a problem and I'll adjust. Don't show me I've got a problem and I'm suspicious of anybody who wants to put the brakes on. So I don't know what the drawdown would be if you started making expenditures by taking in kids to the program.
Mm-hmm.
You are committing yourselves for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And let's say you take in enough kids to spend the $500,000. You're committing the $500,000. Mm-hmm. So let's say you did this on the 15th of April. Mm-hmm. And you would have do that for what would be the period of time? Once you took kids into the program, what would be the range of time?
For the 500?
Under the
first round. Right?
We'd go through December 31st.
Yes.
You would have commitments to kids. And let's say there are, 137 kids, let's say, or whatever the number is. Okay. Now, you have a dropout rate of a certain number of kids, and you have this, that, and the other thing. And let's say you wind up with, if you project this all out, let's say you have an unexpended balance of $75,000 or $100,000. Mm-hmm. You're committing $400,000 at the time you open up the rolls and close them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't course correct on those people, or at least you shouldn't course correct. Either your words are good or it's not. So we have a problem here, because it may be that the bottom's going to spring a leak, and that somebody's going to have to start pulling back, and it's going to be pulling back everywhere, I mean, literally everywhere.
This has been somewhat awkward, you know, for us.
to say the least, I would think.
You.
As you
for
imagine.
You. When you're looking at the sponsor of this whole program here, as you well know,
right.
And you should make clear that the sponsor has been a little bit more than feeling awkward about this.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, due respect to everybody involved, you know, we've had a very strong working relationship with the Department of Social Services. They were as enthusiastic as we were about the development of this program when it started, and firmly behind it. It would not have happened if it were not for the energies of the board. Mm-hmm. But we do have a contract. We have, by the way, a fully executed contract for 2010 for the scholarship funds. We received that some time ago. But we received a email communication saying that we could not go forward. Mm-hmm. And frankly, we waited a little bit before we notified everybody because we were, you know, hoping that maybe that might not happen. But when we did the calculation that the families would no longer have monies after the third week in April, that it was not even going to go to the end of May, we felt out of, you know, regard for the families and the program serving them that we had to get the word out there. Again, somewhat ambivalent about that because we thought, well, once we announce it, then it's like a done deal, you know? Mm. So it was, you know, kind of tricky, and I hope we didn't offend too many people in the way in which we handled that. But
can you just give us some numbers of the impacts from this, unless that's in here already?
Well, some of it is.
I mean, how many people did you have to get in touch with?
Well, we had to get in touch with everyone. What we did was we got in touch with everyone who had ever applied to the program. So we're looking at, you know, quite a few families, you know, 700 families or something like that, if we had their email addresses. We also sent letters to all of the current recipients. And
how many are those?
Current recipients are a little bit over 200, just 200 about 200
families.
Now, as well as to all of the programs who have scholarship children. We're taking care of scholarship children now, which are about, most probably over 100 at this point.
We were also told to cease actively marketing the program for 2010, so we stepped back on that.
Right. That was your nickel, though. You were saving your money. You weren't saving money out of this program.
That is correct.
I don't think we've actually been reimbursed for any of our expenditures yet.
We weren't supposed
2010.
To. We were all supposed to go to the program.
No, we will. Well,
we do have some operational.
No, because they take an operational cut.
Well, they do take an operational cut of 500.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought it was all programmed.
Well, they're as much volunteer as they are. They.
I didn't know that the cut was there. Okay.
No, if we calculated, you know, what we're actually making on this, it would be very little. But there is a small amount for operations. It's less than 10%.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any indication other than the emails
for instance, as telling you that this is a notice that your contract is being modified, blah, 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 blah? Any kind of official other than the email?
No.
And who did the emails come from, Kevin?
No, I think it was Catherine Walischka and Iris Jenkins. Iris is the deputy commissioner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and it was going to, what you in contacted these families and programs and all, and basically the message to them all was that there was not going to be any more money after, what was it, the third week of April?
We had originally said to them that the program would end in May because mm-hmm. that's what we thought we could do. We then sent out another communication saying that April would be paid at 75% of the usual monthly award amounts. We also
all the way through April.
Children can stay in care. Children can stay in care, but the scholarship will only pay for 75% of the cost of whatever April's cost is.
So either
through
parents
April.
Will have to
pick up the slack, or the programs
will have to.
Right, and we, this is what, you know, I say, talk to your program, and, you know, parents say, no, I have to take my child out of care, knowing we're not saying that you have to take a child out of care, we're just saying that the scholarship is not going to pay for your child to be in care anymore, or to help pay for your care. What we also need to do now is, because we didn't stop our advertising until after marketing and advertising for round 2010, round one had started, we already have applications in, and I might say they continue to trickle in. So to date, we have 75 applications, so I need to let all of those applicants...
And those are going to be for round two?
That would be for round one, 2010,
oh,
starting
for round
June.
One, 2010. Mm-hmm.
So all of the parents who have already sent in applications who were not part of the original email and mail messages now need to be notified that there is no funding for 2010. If they have not seen, you know, what's going on, you know, read the papers or anything, but we still will get the word out to them personally from us.
Got it.
And there are some fairly panicked parents who call Susan on a regular basis
and start crying. It's very sad.
Well, from a center director's point of view, we have parents who are crying literally on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. Who
just for the
really,
record, you want to identify?
My name is Howard Milbert, and I'm executive director of the Austin Children's Center. We have parents who are going to school currently, who will have to pull their child out of the center or stop school, either way. We have parents who have relied on this just, you know, to be able to afford child care, and for the centers, particularly at this time, with everything that is going on, the centers cannot afford the scholarship in these parents. Mm-hmm. So we are really poor in this way.
Yeah.
I'd also like to remind the committee that this scholarship has done a wonderful service for working parents. And it was built on top of the Title 20 subsidy. Mm-hmm. And as part of the intent of the legislature, I believe there were funds specifically put in for Title 20 that are being frozen.
Yes.
And it would be very difficult to have a scholarship for families that make more than Title 20. Mm-hmm. Without also pursuing the same logic mm-hmm. with regard to Title 20 families.
Sure.
So when you make your push for...
Oh, we have to both.
Yes, it
you
has
can't.
To be
you
both.
You can't have...
That's what
you can't
I just
have the scholarship
to,
without
exactly.
Title 20.
I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page and that everything is moving together.
You can have Title 20
yes.
without the scholarship.
Right.
That's what we had before. But we had this huge group of people who would miss
people.
The Title 20
exactly.
by $10.
Exactly. Exactly.
But no, if the Title 20 funds are frozen, which they've proposed, then... what's the point of, then everybody right. is not getting a Title
right.
I.
Right.
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 We, as a center director, we really don't know what to do right now. The month is ticking away. And we don't know what to tell our families. So it is extremely important that there be action on this. And I know that you folks could understand this from the outpouring last night. But we really, really don't know what we're up against here at this point.
Which, if I may, through the chair, I mean, one of the big learnings from the original ETC study not only indicated that there were people out there who could definitely use some a scholarship fund, obviously, that it would also help the centers. But the other finding was that centers needed to develop stronger business models, business plans. It, with something like this, it throws a wrench in the works. So, I mean, you can have the strongest business plan in the world now, but when you X out revenue, there goes your business plan. So it really does fly right back in the face of the original research that was done and all of the learnings that came from it.
Yeah. What's particularly sad about it, I think, is that the scholarship, and some of, you know, the reduction of the copay and all the things that have been done over the past few years were very intentional acts, you know, with the support of the administration and the board and active support from DSS and certainly the Chaka community and the council. And then to see it kind of, you know, unravel is painful.
I remember DSS saying, I think you and I were at the meeting, saying originally, you know, this would be something really good for DSS.
Yes.
This would be a help,
yes.
And this would be really helpful to bring in the child care center,
yeah.
the child care council to handle this, to administer it, would help us. And the only threat, and I remember John Beefus saying this when he had Catherine's spot, I guess, before he moved into finance, saying, just be very aware that there is a cliff effect, you know, that you'll never be able to spend, you'll never be able to have enough money, which we knew. I mean, it's not a perfect world, and we don't have child care for all children. And he said, beware, it's, you know, that is an issue.
Yes.
I think we were very cognizant of that and really tried to keep it from, you know, I mean, we originally projected $1 million. We were able to cut back.
Well, I remember, too, there was a fear, and I think it was shared, that we could potentially open up a, you know, 40,000 people could be, you know, given a scholarship. But, you know, that didn't happen. I mean, it turned out to be a manageable number fairly consistently over, you know, over the time that we've done it.
And what's been happening is we have been able to improve the quality of child care in this county. We have a wonderful history of improving the quality, of being a model for the state at this point. And right now, the system is imploding. We really, really are on the brink of a disaster. If these cuts go through, we have centers that don't know what they're going to do. We will have centers that will have to lay off staff, staff that we have been working
on training
and have been getting additional degrees and have been getting scholarships from the state in order to improve the quality. So we've been working, and it's been a wonderful relationship with DSS. And Kathy has done an excellent job in terms of administering the program. And it's all been working very, very well. It's just a shame that the county executive does not have a history with this in the same way that everybody here does. because I think that would make a difference. Because we have just done such wonderful things, and to see it all disappear.
Well, basically, really you're saying that the ripple effect will create unemployment within the child care centers, mm-hmm. unemployment yes. on the part of the parents,
yes.
A loss in educational opportunities on the part of both the parents and the workers.
And exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
Tell us what you really think about
I did have a little opportunity after last night's public comment section to have some conversation with Ned Cormick in the hallway. It was a very, respectful, conversation. I basically was saying to him that, childcare is really about economics.
Absolutely.
And it's about, at a time when I know the administration is interested in kind of, revitalizing the economy, that this would be counter, cuts in childcare would be counter to that agenda. Mm-hmm. He observed that, even with the cuts, Westchester County would still be spending a lot of money in child care, which is true, mm-hmm. and more than many other counties, also true, mm-hmm. And that it would be more than, I think he cited the year 2005, and I said, that's true, but we weren't spending enough in 2005, which is why
you
do all these other things.
Now than you had in 2005.
That's right, so there was that really, at that point in time, the number of children on subsidy was very low, mm-hmm. and it was in 2006 that the ETC study was actually done to find out why, where were the kids, why were they not in regulated care? And the findings were released in early 2007, and one of the major findings was, that the cost of living here and the cost of care is prohibitive. Mm-hmm. And that Westchester needs to do some strategic things to make it affordable, for parents. And again, DSS was our very willing, partner in all those steps, including the reduction in the copay and funding of quality initiatives, the scholarship, and all those things. And DSS also went out on a limb and asked OCFS for a waiver so that applicants for the subsidy no longer had to pursue child support. They were the only county that asked for that. It was granted. It set actually the tone for the rest of the state because it was followed, I think, last year or maybe the year before by an executive order or something so that now nobody in New York State has to do that.
Mm-hmm. And there was a huge link there with domestic violence
yes.
and the fear of going back to
yes.
the
and the
spouse.
And the lifting of that requirement, again, opened up eligibility for more people who had not previously applied. So, again, that was, another step to bring people into regulated care and to make, financial resources available for that to happen.
Mr. Burton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Howard, who was the board member who spoke last month?
Natalie Gorley.
N-A-T-A-L-I-E.
And then that has
G-O-R.
Debbie Imperia.
Can you reach out to her?
Yes, yeah. She's a former Board of Ed member, too, in Harrison, so, yeah, so.
No, but I'm talking about the lady from, mm-hmm. from OCC.
Yeah, I know. I was talking about
the lady from Harrison was particularly eloquent and
yes.
mm-hmm. had a real perspective that I had not heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's
mm-hmm.
worth noting that she's from Harrison.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah.
Rich
old
Harrison.
Really,
there,
really, Harrison. Really from Briarcliff. Mm-hmm. And a point taken. The county executive's office is here now, so we're not trying to hide anything about any of our opinions. Good, hi, Katie. Nice to see you. We know, and they know, and we're not mm-hmm. on too great dissimilar a page. They may be perhaps pushing things sooner than we are, possibly because they simply are anticipating more than we're anticipating. But the truth of the matter is that we still have a budget which has been approved and is under the authority of this board, and the board has taken a position in the past that if we appropriate it, we want it spent. So we will discuss this matter through our leadership with the county executive. And I don't know that we can make you any promises. I just don't. I don't know where we can take it.
I don't think we can take that kind of responsibility at this point.
But
you know what?
We know now. Where the problem? What the problem is?
And we also know that it's countywide. It's not just Mount Vernon and
Mount Vernon.
It's not.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No. It's not. it's quite obvious that it exists in Harrison and Briarcliff Manor and Ossining
and Bedford Hills.
And Bedford Hills. And I would
Lewisboro.
Lewisboro. Yeah. So
many. Very few stories can afford chocolate. It's a middle class issue as well.
Yeah, we don't have a representative from the Journal News here, but I would, if we did, I think we might all take exception to the characterization of this being a fight between the big cities and the rest of us. Mm-hmm. It is not true, and it is defamatory to suggest that it is otherwise. Mm-hmm. We're all in this together.
Not only that, if I may.
Well, go ahead, jump on. I
mean, only going to both feet increase. I mean, at the same time that we're doing this, we're under a federal court order to build 750 units of fair and affordable housing in Westchester County in areas that do not currently have lower income people that fit the mandate. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to do this, obviously. We're going to build 750 units. We're going to fill them with people and families and children. And
where are they going to get
childcare?
They're going to have to pay rent or a mortgage. They're going to need to work. We want people to work. Mm-hmm. We need people to work because we sure need people to pay income tax and property tax and sales tax. What are we going to do? I mean, are we not cutting off our nose to spot? I mean, and it's not like we are sitting in a county with that has a wall around us now, and we've said, okay, well, that's it. Nobody else moving in here. Mm-hmm. You can only move out, but you can't move in because we don't want to pursue any of these programs anymore.
Mm-hmm. There's another piece of information I should share, and that is that there are 13 school districts, I believe, which have pre-K programs.
I know.
And a number of them have said for the public record that they may not continue their pre-K programs. Now, I know that the school budget, there's a certain kind of, you know, public rhythm to the whole negotiation, and sometimes school districts, you know, portray certain cuts as impending, and it doesn't happen that way. But Yonkers, for example, has, I mean, I have some pretty good inside intelligence that Yonkers is saying they may not fund pre-K again. Mm-hmm. They have 1,600 children, mostly housed in school-based programs for full day. They have two subcontracts with community-based programs for a nominal number of children. Mm-hmm. I have to presume that a large number of those children, if they were not served in free pre-K programs, would be looking for subsidy, some number of which may fall under the Title 20 category.
Mm-hmm. However, that would be frozen.
That's correct. That's correct. So Peekskill, White Plains,
New Rochelle.
Well, it's all the cities, but several of them have publicly said that pre-K is on the chopping block. Mm-hmm. So that's another piece of information.
Well, those are city-based programs. But are there other school districts that also are articulating the same concerns?
Those are what school districts?
Those are city-based school districts.
Oh, city, yeah.
There were only 13 of the, I think, the 40-odd school districts that even took up the pre-K money. Most of them didn't.
Are we exhausting in the year?
Yes, we have it. We have a program with pre-K.
And what about some of the other northern towns?
Some do, but very few.
Yeah, Peekskill does.
Mamaroneck does.
Yes, Mamaroneck does. Mamaroneck has also said they may cut it, too.
Well,
they were thinking, Mamaroneck was thinking of cutting kindergarten.
Because there's the rolling
effect. They're not state mandated.
They're not going to.
Where are they going to go? They're not poor enough to be in the open-ended programs. Mm-hmm. And yet, they will be fairly shortly if we keep this up. Mm-hmm. And so the answer is they go with the lady down the street with a large...
Not the grandmother, the well-intended aunt, mm-hmm. who's beside herself anyway and with a TV set, and that's where the kids spend all day.
That's right. And then they show up at school totally unprepared to be there. And then we wonder why they drop out and other things happen. You know, we're just setting ourselves up. The other... statistic which we had provided to the county executive, we had the opportunity to meet with him, is, you know, we said the roughly 200 families that received about $4,000 in scholarship aid for a total outlay of $800,000 in the aggregate earned over $8 million. So for your investment of $800,000, they generated $8 million in earnings. And So some percentage of those families, if the scholarship is withdrawn, will probably not be working any longer. Mm-hmm. And you could make the same analogy for the Title 20 families as well.
Certainly. So it becomes a choice of either staying home with your child, mm-hmm. or the grandmother or the aunt or whoever.
Mm-hmm. Or for these older children,
the older children
pay,
become
those
children.
Those are the latchkey kids.
Right.
And
exactly.
Boy, do we know a lot of
that's right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Huge problem. So,
well, this is very depressing.
I think also it's important. You just mentioned latchkey children. I think one of the statistics that came out was that the Westchester County Scholarship served mostly latchkey students.
Yeah, school-age children. Yes.
And that's something that we really have to be concerned about, because since they are school-age, and since this is putting, since parents are in an economic bind, it is very easy to see parents saying, you know what, you go home by yourself,
mm-hmm.
you turn the TV on,
right.
you don't
right.
answer the door,
right.
and don't touch the stove.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And don't let anybody in.
And, right.
And
so right.
please do your homework.
Right, and do your homework.
Help you do your homework.
And
yeah.
And I'll
yes.
be home
don't
at 6:30.
Bring the place down. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is extremely important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going up.
I don't really have. My name is Emily Tate, and I'm here representing Ellen Farrar, who could not be with us. And I simply agree with what Kathy has said, and certainly what Howard has said. That, you know, I think about what we're discussing today as a ripple in a pond.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at not just the short term, but the long term benefits, and
mm-hmm.
how what we decide will have long-term effects for this particular county,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's been stated eloquently. So that
mm-hmm.
I'm glad we didn't look at the long view, not what is
mm-hmm.
expedient for just right now.
Well, I think there have been enough studies to indicate that if you don't put the investment in at the front end, you pay dearly at the other end. And you know, we can look at our incarcerated population
mm-hmm.
and tell that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well. We've seen what California is doing when it first exhausts this problem and then still has to face more. They simply release prisoners before
yes.
their time.
Mm-hmm.
And they limit beds in psychiatric centers, and they do they reduce parole and probation, and they do the sorts of things which have a more immediate effect. They're not just aiming. This is not a problem that's going to be aimed just at the prevention area. It's going to roll. If the bottom drops out, it's going to roll.
Yeah.
And we have to be aware of this. I wish this hell it were June. We have a lot more information. We'd know. We can at least look
well,
at where
we do see information. Now we saw the information that came out just the other day about that we're beginning, that things are beginning to turn.
Look at our revenues. Our revenues, our sales tax and mortgage tax, and we've had a nice low level for the first quarter, which
mm-hmm.
has been met. Not,
mm-hmm.
But that was a low level. Now we
mm-hmm.
projected that
so
we would
have
an
all the more, out and spend.
We would have a 4% growth in sales tax revenue across the year, flat in the first quarter, or even a little bit lower down. I don't know what it was. But in June, we'd have the second quarter well underway, and we'd know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second biggest pot of money that comes in.
And that is how we've always done it in the past,
mm-hmm.
not to always keep talking about
the
past,
mm-hmm.
but we've, as a board of legislators, have been in this position every year where we take quarterly looks at the
right.
budget. Okay, what's come in, what's
and,
gone
and,
out?
And we
I mean,
model,
like any business.
Right. We model our adjustments of our budget.
And we've made adjustments
and
right before.
In some respects, we've been jumping the gun.
Right.
But
well, you know, I'm not an economist, but several economists have written about the significant multiplier effects of child care. So we said before, 200 families earning $8 million, that's $8 million that goes out into the economy.
Okay.
If withdrawn, all the numbers that you're talking about go
mm-hmm.
down.
Okay.
And from what I'm hearing from parents who have been saying to me as I talk to them, well, if I may have to cut my hours, I may have to quit my job, my child may have to come out of the program that they've been in since they're 6 months old and now they're eight. And if the parents don't work anymore, where's all that, you know, there's just no money to be spent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At all. So it everything's going to change.
We're all depressingly familiar with that. It really is.
Yes. It's a very, very, very dismal picture, actually. Yes. And there's a ripple effect that goes far wider than, you know, we've all addressed it in some form or another, yes. But it goes far wider than just these children and these parents. It goes through industry, it goes through retailing, it goes through housing, it goes through education. It touches every one of us. And 15 years from now, we'll be paying for it.
Or we will see a very, very different Westchester County. I mean, I think that's, this will not be the county that that we all know and love.
Right. Just a scary place, in fact.
Well,
I thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
I appreciate your input, although I'm not at all happy to hear it, and I'm sure you were not happy to have to deliver it, but we do appreciate the input, and we will have to do what we have to do. And
well, the chair will be reporting to leadership, one member of which is already present with us, so the message will go back.
The message will go back, and we hope that we can activate some positive spin, even if it's a small one, on this whole thing. But again, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
All your support. Yes.
Any motion?
Oh. Did we have minutes? No.
I don't mean motion to.
So move. All right. You said second.
Stand in here.
Will you get back?
Yes.
Okay.
I will call him soon.